Thanks for listening to shippingpodcasts.com from Coracle Online. This episode looks at bills of lading from our presenter, Henry Sammet, and is split over a number of parts, so please be sure to keep tuned in.
Hello, my name is Henry. I'm here to talk to you about bills of lading. The merchant and the bill of lading or seaway bill. The merchant includes the shipper, holder, consignee, receiver of the goods, any person owning or entitled to the possession of the goods, or of a bill of lading or seaway bill, or anyone acting on behalf of such a person. The notified party. The status of a notified party on its own merits is not that of a merchant. Bills of lading or seaway bills usually contain a clause or are subject to a clause along the following lines. Any mentioning in this bill of lading of parties to be notified of the arrival of the goods is solely for the information of the carrier. Failure to give such notification shall not involve the carrier in any liability, nor relieve the merchant of any obligation hereunder. The onus therefore rests with the merchant to check about the arrival of his cargo. This could be done electronically via e-tracking portals. The merchant must not and should not rely on the carrier to send out cargo arrival notifications, as the carrier is not contractually obliged to do so. Shippers packed containers. If a container has been packed by the merchant or his agent, the carrier will invariably ensure that the bill of lading clearly dissents from confirming the quantity, piece count, and weight of the cargo, and the quality of packaging, in addition to dissenting from description of the goods. The bill of lading or seaway bill is usually clause CY to CY, which means container yard to container yard, or FCL FCL, which means a full container load to a full container load. Therefore, the carrier tries to ensure that the bill of lading or seaway bill would be a receipt for the actual container being shipped rather than for the goods packed inside the container. If successful, this is particularly useful to the carrier when relying on his limitation to liability in settlement of a cargo claim. Freight terms are either liner or FIOS, or a combination of both. Under free-in and out-stowed terms, the cargo interest is responsible for payment of stevedoring costs in relation to loading, stowing, and discharging of the cargo. At common law, freight is earned upon the goods being delivered to the discharge port. Therefore, the carrier is not entitled to earn freight if the goods of the same description that were shipped have not been delivered to the port of discharge. This could be due to the fact that the cargo is so badly damaged that it can no longer be referred to as the cargo shipped initially. Most bills of lading provide for full freight shall be considered completely earned on receipt of the goods by the carrier and shall be paid and not returnable in any event. All freight shall be paid without any set-off, counterclaim or deduction, latest before delivery of the goods. Therefore, the merchant is bound to pay freight in full, whether or not the cargo was lost or damaged in transit. The merchant naturally can lodge a claim against the carrier for his loss. Payment of freight and charges to a freight forwarder, broker, or anyone other than the carrier or its authorized agent shall not be deemed as payment to the carrier and shall be made at the merchant's sole risk. A carrier who issued a freight prepaid bill of lading or seaway bill cannot withhold delivery of the cargo to the lawful holder of the bill of lading or seaway bill if the freight is still outstanding, and must still deliver the cargo, provided the latter is not party to a fraud. By contrast, the carrier can withhold the release of goods to a holder or a freight collect bill of lading or seaway bill until the freight is paid in full. Debt freight. If the merchant is unable to ship the quantity of cargo agreed, the carrier is entitled, either in damages or as a result of an express clause in the bill of lading, to charge that freight in compensation for the shortage in freight earnings. Lien. A lien is described as a defense available to one in possession of a claimant's goods, who is entitled at common law or by contract to retain possession until he is paid whatever he is owed. At common law, the carrier is entitled to a lien on the goods for freight which is payable on delivery of the goods, cargo's contribution to general average, expenses incurred in preserving the goods. The carrier, however, could draft a clause in the bill of lading to have a lien on the goods for other claims, such as debt freight, demurrage, or detention. The lien is enforceable if the carrier retains possession of the goods, and provided the party from whom the carrier is claiming payment is a party to the bill of lading. Ad valorem freight. Upon consent by the carrier, the value of the cargo may be declared by the merchant to the carrier prior to shipment. In this case, the carrier levies freight based on the value of the cargo rather than its generic description. The declared value of the cargo stipulated on the bill of lading in a specific place, providing for declared value. In settlement of a cargo claim, the carrier's limitation to liability will be based on the declared value of the cargo shown on the face of the bill of lading or seaway bill, rather than the values provided for in various carriage regimes, as the unit of settlement would be based on the number of containers shipped rather than their contents. The onus to inspect whether the container is suitable for shipment of the goods is with the merchant, and the container is deemed to be suitable if the merchant adopts its use. The carrier also ensures that the bill of lading clearly exempts him from liability in relation to the manner in which the container has been bagged, or the unsuitability of the goods for the carriage in the container, or the unsuitability or defective condition of the container, or any incorrect setting of thermostatic, ventilation, or other special controls, provided that such unsuitability was not evident upon reasonable inspection by the merchant at time of loading of the cargo into the container. The merchant is responsible for packing and sealing of all shipper-packed containers. If a shipper-packed container is delivered by the carrier with its original seal as affixed by the shipper intact, the carrier shall not be liable for any shortage of goods ascertained at delivery. The merchant is responsible for returning the empty container with interiors clean, odor-free, and in the same condition as received, to the point or place designated by the carrier, within the time frame prescribed. Should a container not be returned in the condition required and or within the time frame prescribed, the merchant shall be liable for any demurrage, detention, loss, or expenses incurred. Freight. Freight is charged on the nature of cargo and is calculated on the weight or measurement or quantity, or even on a lump sum basis, or in reference to a scale or a tariff. In containerization, freight is calculated based on the size and type of container and the nature of the cargo shipped, as well as the voyage encountered. Place of issue. The place of issue of the bill of lading or seaway bill is important to determine the application of carriage regimes, such as the Hague-Visby rules, particularly if the shipment is not from a contracting state to the rules. Article 10 of the Hague-Visby states, the provision of these rules shall apply to every bill of lading relating to the carriage of goods between ports in two different states if the bill of lading is issued in a contracting state. Carriage of Goods by Sea Act 1971 extended the Hague-Visby rules and the force of law to the following. Any receipt, which is a non-negotiable document, marked as such, if the contract contained or evidenced by it is a contract for the carriage of goods by sea, which expressly provides that the rules are to govern the contract, as if the receipt were a bill of lading. Shippers' memoranda, not part of the bill of lading. Some bills of lading provide for the inclusion of the merchant's reference number or a product serial number to appear on the bill of lading. Such data is merely for the benefit of the merchant and is not relevant to and has no connection with the carrier. Onward, inland routing, not part of carriage, for account and risk of merchant. At times, the shipper contracts with his buyer to deliver the cargo to an inland point or warehouse, which the carrier cannot arrange on the basis of a multimodal bill of lading. The shipper nonetheless chooses to arrange transport to this particular point at his own expense and risk. The box in the bill of lading, entitled Onward Inland Routing, allows the shipper to present a bill of lading compliant with his contract of sale with the buyer, without obliging the carrier to arrange inland transport, and without exposing the carrier to risk and expenditure. The same principle applies if transport to a place shown in Onward Inland Routing box and the bill of lading is arranged for by the consignee or the merchant as defined in the bill of lading.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this four-part series from shippingpodcasts.com. If you'd like to hear any particular topic in the future, please remember, just get in touch and we'll see what we can do.